Off the Ball.
GAA.
This whole circuit where guys are going from club to club to club, making a nice few bob, tax-free, completely in contravention of the law of the land, and doing it in plain sight.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
Delighted now that we're both joined in studio by Owen Heary. Owen, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, how are you?
Welcome back in. So we had four games last night in the Premier Division. Just to run through the results again quickly. Galway United and Sligo Rovers 1. We're probably starting that game. Elsewhere, Waterford 1, Shamrock Rovers 2, St Pat's 4, Cork City 0, and Drogheda United 2, Shelburne 1. But as I say, we'll start with the Connacht Derby. A massive result for Sligo.
Absolutely. You know, absolutely. And you'd expect Galway down there would be tough to beat. Sligo gone down. They need the points to get out of that relegation battle, if you want to call it. And, well, that's what it is. And you know, they managed to get the 3 points down there, which is a massive 3 points to take them out of the relegation, the playoff battle, and give them a good chance of trying to stay up in the league.
Yeah, like it's the first time Sligo are out of the bottom two all season, really, and only 5 games to go, so the timing is great. But the job that Russell has done, like we had him on in pre-season, and you're nearly tired listening to him about all the stuff that he has to do as manager of that football club beyond just the team, you know, it's everything else as well.
Yeah, the top teams have people to do all the stuff for them. I mean, I look at when Rovers come to town or Bowes, and they've so many different coaches for different areas or people involved in the background for different areas. It's not like that at Sligo. He had to do a lot himself. But the players he has and the players he's brought in, and I was speaking to him before the Bowes game, and I think McLean at the back has made a massive difference for them, like, you know, because it allows the players then to express themselves. And they have so many players that can run with the ball, you know, Akiki up front, but Owen Eldon. They just have those little bit of a difference than the other teams that are fighting relegation. They have players that can score goals, but they've tightened up at the back a lot. And I think that's going to, you know, save them.
I have a Blackburn Rovers supporter on to me last night. How good is this Owen Eldon guy? Because they're linked heavily with him. Like Sligo would be doing an unbelievable job to keep hold of him.
I think he will. I said it from, you know, early doors when you've seen him. He plays without fear, but he can play off the left side or off the right side. But it's even his goals that he gets, they're not just tap ins. He's striking from 20, 30 yards out and they're flying in. And he might do it once in the season, but he's done it a couple of times. So it's no fluke, you know, and he has strength, ability, power. And we talk about all the other young players in the league, but he's definitely up there with him. And like you said, it'd be a tough one to hold on to.
As the results suggest, it was a tight game. Galway didn't give up by any means. They kind of bombarded the Sligo goal towards the end of the game. But it's funny how differently we're talking about Galway United this season versus last. And I know that they lost Moses Dyer. That was a huge, huge player to lose, especially the time that they lost, because he's still one of their top scorers. But they don't look that different to me than the team that we saw last campaign. But they're just way lower down the league, and it's kind of hard to explain it.
I think the fatigue is kicking in with them.
Right.
You know, like you said, you had Dyer who would get goals for them. That's dried up a little bit for them. So now it's a case of, you know, when they're trying to push forward, but they're leaving gaps at the back and they don't know whether to stick or twist, whether to go and push and try to get that win to get them out of relegation. But then you don't want to lose either. So you could see that a little bit last night where they're very tentative not to push too many people forward at certain times because they don't want to get caught. And they're probably thinking if we get a draw against Sligo, it keeps us just ahead of them. But unfortunately, they didn't, you know, and Sligo scores later on. And then it's a difficult game to try turn around because Sligo have something to hold on to and they'll just sit back and soak it up.
They were bang level yesterday. This time yesterday, Sligo and Galway had 31 points. Now Sligo, have 34 points. So Galway are ninth. They're in that promotion relegation playoff position. Cork City completely doomed. I mean, like, what do you do if you're part of Ger Nash's coaching staff or if you're the head coach? Because Cork City didn't lay a glove on St. Patrick's Galway last night. It could have been a lot more than four.
And they have the cup coming up against Pats again, so in their mindset they'd be thinking
that Turner's Cross at least.
Yeah, well, they need to change it around. He got a great result against Rovers the weekend, 1-1
draw. They haven't been too bad.
No, they've been all right over the last 5-6 games, but last night just really put them to bed, Pats did. But you look at the run-in, and I think Sligo probably have the more difficult run-in out of all the teams. Cork probably have the easier of the run-in, but, you know, they're too far off it. Probably to
8 points.
To try keep up with Sligo. As I said, they have Pats, Derry, Shells, Rovers. That's four of the top teams that are fighting for Europe. Like, they're difficult games for them.
Yeah.
You know, compared to Galway, we'll have Cork, Rovers, Bowes, Drogheda, and then Waterford. So they probably, Sligo, I think, more have a little bit more to do to stay up, but they're capable of getting results in those games. That's the thing with them. They have players that can score goals, and they've tightened up a lot of defence. So
I mean, there's a team there.
Waterford could
Waterford could get something between Sligo and Galway.
You know, they played well against Bowes the weekend, but didn't get anything from it.
Yeah.
So again, they are the team, and you have Hammond in your team as well. You get goals, and that's what's going to happen for the bottom teams is they need goals. Mm. You know, you can't sit back and hope to get a point out of it. They need to go and take the games to them and get the points on the board to stay up.
I feel like we won't really be talking about Cork City too much for the rest of the season. So, planning for next season, what do? They haven't won away from home all season long. They've only won four games in total. So they win the. So this is where we're going with it, right? So if they win the FA Cup, the rewards are massive. Very much not impossible.
Because you look at Drogheda last year.
But they're one of the worst teams you've seen in the Premier Division for a while.
And we said that about Drogheda last year. Like, exactly. You know, they struggled so much last year. And then all of a sudden they win the Cup and it just turns the whole season around for them this year. I think with Cork, like, they have a difficult one now against Rovers at home. But they got a result there the weekend against them. I'm sure they'd be thinking any given day it might happen for them in the Cup. But you're right in saying that they need to probably focus on, right, if we do get relegated, which more than likely is going to happen, is to try hold on their players, stay as a full-time club, and continue on and try to get back up into the league. Like, because if you go down and you're down for 2-3 seasons, then the crowd will start to go away. There's not as much investment going in. You know, and at the moment we have a full-time setup in the Premier League. Every team is full-time. Once one goes down, we could have a part-time team coming back up and it changes the whole reflection of the league again.
I don't know how much you got involved in. You were captain or head coach when it comes to ticket pricing, but Cork City are going to have to look at it because it's €25 this season for an adult. It's, I think it's €16 for a kid.
Yeah, it's very
like
expensive.
When you're going up to the first division, the problem that they had seemed to have last year was that they didn't walk the first division, but they certainly dominated a lot of games. And it was actually almost a bit of apathy and complacency set in because the expectation to win.
Yeah, and I think the signings then as well they brought in at the time. Like,
but it's still a good looking team. Like, I was looking at the 11 last night and it was like there are still elements of that side that other teams in the Premier Division, way more established setups, would want in their squad. Like,
yeah, and I think it was probably strange that when they brought Nash in at the time, you're probably saying, well, maybe a more experienced League of Ireland manager would have helped them and probably got results and got them over the line or out of the relegation battle at least. But you know, it's a baptism of fire for him. He come in and it hasn't gone to plan for them. It took them a while before he even got his first points on the board. But I think they just need to plan for next season. Put everything into the cup this year, but more than likely they'll need a plan for first division next year.
It wouldn't be great for the league if it was a team in the first division in Europe. Like, nothing against Cork City and their desire to win. Fair play. What a great story for them. But having a first division team in European football next season. Yeah, the other side of that is that actually the money from that would allow them to keep all their players. But they'll romp home with a record number of points if they have.
Yeah, I think you're right in saying like the money would be great, keep the players, keep the squad, probably add to it and look to get straight back up into the Premier Division. But in terms of the games then that they are playing, they'll be playing lesser opposition. They won't have as much of a challenge when they go to play in Europe. And that's the difficult thing. We see it with Celtic, Rangers, these, you know, when they're struggling are in Europe, but they're playing against weaker teams in the league. And then they try to step up. They're not capable of doing it.
And the cup winners have a Europa League. They go straight to the Europa League qualifiers, so they'll have a better route into the Conference League next season. They'll skip around. So really, like, I'm, you know, for as a neutral at this point, with the four teams left, you want the best team to come out representing the league in
European. Yeah, well. I'm sure a lot of neutrals will be saying, winners, like, well, you know, you'd expect Rovers to be there anyway in Champions League. They'll win that.
As a neutral, I don't want Rovers to win either.
Yeah. And then it's a case of, you know, the teams in the Premier League that are looking to finish probably in fourth, hoping that Rovers or Pats, if they finish, win the cup, because it gives them a place in it. So I'm sure Cork and Kerry will have something to say about it.
To make matters worse for Cork City, just to really like stick the dagger into the heart of pain that they're feeling, two former Cork City lads score for Shamrock Rovers last night and they go down to Waterford and win. I suppose the same question with Waterford along the lines of Galway is that, like, is there fatigue setting in there? What's happened? Like, we had Keith Long in studio here talking about how well it was going for Waterford for so long until suddenly kind of it wasn't. They've 1 point from the last six games, Waterford. They might get away with it because there's so few games left in the season. But it's been a strange campaign overall from them.
I think from Waterford's point of view, you're right, when Keith Long was there and they did it all right at the start, he went up in Derry and things like that, but then they go on a run where they didn't get points for a while and Keith gets sacked and they bring Coleman in. So again, they sort of ended a little slum that he hit, but then he hit a high again and he started picking up and winning games, and you think, oh, they're going to come good again, like, and then all of a sudden he hit a slum again. It just seems to be that way with Waterford. They're either up or down with them. There's no, as you say, maybe fatigue is kicking in, but there doesn't seem to be that momentum throughout the whole season. And they have good season pros. It's not as if, you know, these are young lads and they don't know what they're doing and things like that, but they have good season pros. They've good players there. As I said, Almond is a massive feature there, as in not only playing wise, but also, I'd say, a good voice in the dressing room for them. And like you said, it's a matter for them. They're sort of, they're a team that when they go out against the likes of Bowes and go out against the Rovers and Derry, you know they're capable of beating them. And as I said, against Bowes the weekend, they were unlucky not to get something from that game. They played really, really well, and a keeper makes a silly mistake for the first goal. But
he made a great save last night, actually, Stephen McMullen, to make up for that mistake from a header.
Well, you don't make up for the mistake because you lost points on Friday because of
maybe from his own confidence, you know.
But no, they're a team that I think will be okay. They'll finish mid-table, but I think going forward next year, they'll have to improve their squad and improve their mentality of maintaining it the whole year.
Oh, they go to Shells this Friday night, Waterford. Shells lost to Drogheda last night. I suppose, I wouldn't say the bigger fish to fry anything, but they could understandably be fairly distracted by what's coming next week in that first game in the Conference League group against Hacken.
Yeah, I don't buy into that, being honest, because it's still a week away. They need to get into Europe. And I watched the game last night. That was the game I was more interested in. Drogheda, the usual setback, allowed Shells have the ball. Shells played very well up to the middle third, and in the last third he didn't create anything. You know, they had one shot,
78% possession.
Yeah, and they had one shot, really good effort in Meepo in the first half where the keeper pulls off a fantastic save. Other than that, they were never really a threat. You know, they were playing half crosses in, if you want to call it, and it was just, you know, heading away with Keely or, you know, any of the other centre halves. So they just kept putting their heads on it. There was no threat in behind, there was no threat just in front of them. They didn't seem that, they just lacked sort of effort in the last third of the pitch. And saying that, the goals, like, you look at the goal, I don't know why Lunny's trying to play a back pass from the halfway line back towards his keeper, but
Spiel stops, he runs and runs back.
I can see that, but Spiel was back in his box, but Paddy Barrett was there closer. He should have just come across and cleared that ball, and he's too tentative to try to go out and clear it, and then he stays off, and when Kameen gets the ball and he's in the box, Paddy Barrett doesn't engage him then, he just turns his back on it and it bends to the far corner. Now, it was a great finish, but it's easily cut out by Paddy straight away. And the keeper, once he backtracks, Paddy has to take control of that situation.
It's a mad goal, Kareem's goal last night for Drogheda, that first goal against Shells. It's probably the goal of the night, but like, it's the two opposite ends of football in two touches of it. So Kareem, his first touch in the box is horrendous.
Yeah, it's a bad touch.
It gives Barrett, it's about 2 yards ahead of him, but he makes up for that with the finish, which is and he has to hit that finish because of his touch.
Exactly. And if you look at Lunny actually nearly gets back to him. So Paddy should have been engaged with him a lot sooner than that, once he was heading a waiting goal. But like you said, it was a bad first touch, but he still had time then to say, well, no one's coming to hear me, I'm going to just bend this to the far corner. It was a fantastic finish.
Yeah.
But he shouldn't have even got on the end of that ball, like, you know. But it was a great work by him. And I had to say, Drogheda are probably the most hardest working team I've seen in the league, from centre forward back. Now, two centre forwards are nearly on the edge of that box defending, you know, and then trying to get up the pitch. So, and the fitness of them, the effort of them, the organisation was top class last night for them, I had to say.
I have a certain degree of expectation about Drogheda now because they're so well organised, despite the turmoil they've had to deal with this season with Europe, and it didn't happen and all that after the FA Cup, and then losing on penalties to Shamrock Rovers recently. I'd say many other weaker sides would have not disappeared, but felt a bit flat. Never seems to be the case with Drogheda.
No, and everyone expects them to keep dropping off.
Yeah.
Like we've said here many a time, said, Drogheda probably, that's their peak. But they just keep defying the odds and just keep coming out and throwing out results. And they're still in there with a chance, albeit they're 4 points off, but they're still in there with a chance to try to get Europe again. And they'd be hoping to finish probably fourth in the table because, like I said, if the likes of Rovers win the cup, we give them a chance then to Europe.
They're 4 points off automatic, but it's a 50-50, slightly better than 50-50, that there's going to be one of Rovers or Pats winning the cup, right? Like, they're favourites, heavy favourites. And I'm not writing Kerry or Cork off in fairness, but... so that was a massive game, because if Shells had won that, they had a game in hand.
Again, and they pushed right up then, they'd have been a point after them.
I think, to Colin's point, that's an incredible job of management to have all of the letdown and the court case ongoing, will we, won't we, and then at the last minute to have your heart broken. One of the reasons why I'd say some players enjoyed the cup win so much, obviously you get a medal, but it's also like, oh, European glamour.
Exactly, yeah.
And then for it to be stolen away in the way it was, like,
And with the resources that he has, You know what I mean? That European football money coming in would have been so helpful to draw that. They're going full time this year.
Yeah.
You know, they could have invested and brought players in. Like you look at the benches last night and Shells throw on Martin and, you know, they throw on McEnroy and things like that. Those players coming in, trying to get a goal. Drogheda don't have that ability to call on those players, but they call on players that come on and still make a difference.
Yeah.
They work hard, they close down, they do everything that he's asking them.
Which is why I would tend to agree with you. It's almost now that they've qualified for the group stages, it's almost more important that they qualify for Europe next season than it is that they perform well in the group stages. Whatever, like obviously they need to perform well in group stages and all the points are worth money and all that. But actually if they're not in Europe next season, then they'll lose players in the off season and everything slows down. The eyes in the club, I'm talking about Shelburne here obviously, the eyes in the club are less and their ability to sign good players diminishes. And so like this is the bit where they've got to push on.
It needs to because like that you'll have a taste of Europe as you said this year. And then if you don't make Europe again, then the likes of Rovers will come knocking for your players and they'd be like, well, I want to be winning leagues, but I also want to be, you know, playing in Europe year in, year out. And that's the thing why Shells have done so well, but they need to push on now and they need to get Europe. And I think finishing, as I keep saying it, in that fourth position and hope Rovers win the cup.
Yeah.
I think that's a massive, massive gap for any team to fill.
I've been low-key obsessed about waiting for Jack Henry Francis to make his, I think last night was his full debut, his first start. Yeah, how did he get on?
They did well, that's to say. Shells, midfield-wise, control. Drogheda couldn't get near them. Drogheda had their only corner in the game in the 93rd minute. You know, so Drogheda's just saying, you just go and play in front of us, we'll just sit back here. And then when Drogheda got the goal, Shells didn't have any answers. You know, they huffed and puffed and went down the sides midfield keeping the ball going down the other side but had no real chances in the game until they scored the goal and then you're thinking the last 5 minutes there'd be an onslaught. Didn't happen.
And as part of the culture war in terms of 3-5-2, 5 at the back, 4 at the back, no wingers.
I'm looking at that and I'll be honest, like I'm looking at teams that are playing 5 at the back and they're conceding more goals than they would if they were playing 4 at the back. And to me on that is there's wingers playing as fullbacks, they go forward, they don't know how to defend in that system, but you also have three centre halves that fill across the 6 yard box and don't want to come out and cover those areas. So if you have a back four and me as a right full going forward, my centre half is automatically thinking I have to cover that area, but they don't seem to be doing that. And if he's watched the goal against Shells last night, Paddy Barrett is in that area where he can come across the cover, but he doesn't. It's like I have to stay this zone, like. And that's why I find that the four at the back is probably much easier for players to play. And also centre-halves marking centre-forwards. If you've three at the back, no one seems to pick up the centre-forward. It's more, well, I don't know, he has him, you have him. Whereas if you're two at the back, two centre-halves, I'd be like, right, Colm, you go and mark in front. I'll sit behind and sweep this up. So it's more organisation skills, I suppose. Or maybe it's just the players themselves don't know how to play it.
Full set of games on Friday coming. The pick of them is on paper anyway, it's first against second with Shamrock Rovers against Bowls, but there's 10 points between them and Rovers have a game in hand. How have you rated this season overall, like as a competition? Because look, nobody's confirmed champions, there's nobody definitely down yet, but it looks all a bit like a foregone conclusion compared to the drama of this time last year.
Well, I think if Rovers win this weekend and Derry Lewis, the champions, it's done. And
it's simple as
four games to go.
Derry go to Drogheda as well.
So overall, like I think that we all expected Rovers to bounce back after last year. And I thought it'd be more of a challenge from Derry, you know, probably a little bit closer to them or Shells or Bowes, but unfortunately that's not the case. But I think it's more interesting now, the European positions, you know, it seems to be a little three-tier league, if you want to call it. You'd have Rovers out on their own, then you have the little batch of Bowes, Derry, Pats, Shells, Drogheda, all fighting for those places, and then you have the relegation battle. But overall, it's been interesting, like it's been enjoyable, you can't say it's not. As I said, the teams fighting for European spots makes it a little bit more interesting come the end of the season, rather than normally you're saying, oh, who's going to win the league? And like last year, where Shells are losing games, but they're still getting over the line. This year, we don't have that.
We found ourselves where we were in the Premier League last season, which was like we knew the champions, we knew the relegated sides, and it was the European places that we're all interested in now. So that brings me to next season already, with the acknowledgement that we still have to finish this campaign. But I'm already thinking, Jesus, like who are going to be the nearest challengers to Shamrock Rovers next season? Because there's no reason why they would weaken.
Yeah, no, you're dead right. And I think you'd have to expect Derry to be closer because this is the first year under the manager. Like, so you're saying, right, he's had 1 year now to analyse the league. You want to put it, next year has to be that challenge for them. if they don't, because that's the reason, you know, why Rory had gone. He didn't win the cup,
yeah,
and obviously he didn't challenge for the league. He should have won the league
4 weeks before the league finished. It looked like it was all on,
yeah,
Derry.
So yeah, you're looking at next year and saying who's going to be up there to challenge Rovers. Rovers will strengthen as they do every year. Will Shells be up there? I don't know. Will Bowes be up there? It's hard to say. It's hard to see. Like, it's hard to see anyone challenging Rovers for the next few years, like, either.
What about Stephen Bradley being motivated to keep going? No problem.
No, I don't think it's an issue for him. If you're winning leagues and winning cups and
nice
in Europe,
it.
it's great.
Yeah.
He could be managing Galway and he could be down fighting relegation and not in Europe and out of the cup. Where would he rather be? And have players that he can call on if someone is injured. They have a player like for like that can come in, and like Jack Bourne's gone. He has Healy coming into the midfield. He's so many talented players there at his disposal. Why would you want to go anywhere else?
What kind of a job has Tiernan Lynch done at Derry?
I think he's done all right in his fourth season. Well, depending if they get Europe. If they get Europe this year, then he can say, well, first year in, he's had to get in Europe, had to finish in second in the league. Won't be too bad. I know they finished third last year. So it's a little bit of an improvement on last year, if you want to put it, on his fourth season. But if they miss out on Europe this year, are we going to say it's a good season for them? You can't, because they've invested a lot into their squad this year. Like, you've brought players in from Scotland, you know, players in from England that have a lot of experience and good players, so you'd expect them to be at least European spot this year for his fourth season, I would think.
Is this one of those years that Bowes are going to regret not being slightly better, given that they've had Dawson Devoy play so well over the course of the season? And like, it hasn't been vintage Shamrock Rovers in that they've been really good in patches, but they've also dropped points unexpectedly as the season has gone on.
Yeah, but if you asked me at the start of the year, you know, what would be a good season for Bowes, I would have said Europe. You know, and it has to be Europe this year. And as you say, Dawson Devoy has played well, so has, you know, Tierney's played well. And in fairness, you can't keep relying on those sort of players all the time. You know, you need your other players to stand up. In fairness, Dale Rooney's had a great season. I think he's probably had a better season of all the players. But European football has to be the goal for Bowes this year. They do a lot of investment off the pitch. You know, they're building the club and it's going the right direction. They've built players, they've brought in players that probably no one wanted, if you want to say that. You know, brought them in, didn't work out, moved them on, brought in other players. So they're still, I suppose, trying different things and trying to get the right fit of players in. And if you think, going back to when Bowes played Rovers in Tala, the last time they played in Tala, the people were screaming for Alan's head, like, yeah. You know, and he's bounced back and he's turned things around.
Got a new deal. Yeah,
and now they're starting. They're at the business end of the season, but they're hit and miss at the moment. They've gone back to where they were at the start a little bit, where you're expecting to win the Derry game, like it was 4-3 after getting back into the game, taking the lead, getting back into the game. You're expecting to get something out of it, but defensively, they just, those little qualities that they missed end up coming back to haunt them, and nearly happened again against Waterford. But if they finish Europe, I think it's a fantastic season.
Okay. Come here, before we wrap, why are defenders so underappreciated and undervalued when it comes to the Ballon d'Or?
Yeah, because everyone loves goal scorers, isn't it? Like, it's defenders win leagues.
Does part of your union get annoyed like that? The defender, like Virgil van Dijk's the last defender to finish in the top three.
I don't know why they don't have, like, they have one for a keeper.
Donnarumma got goalkeeper.
So why not have one for a defender? Do you know what I mean? Because let's be honest, 9 times out of 10 it's going to be a centre forward that picks up the Ballon d'Or. Like, you know, if you go back over the years, well, Messi, Ronaldo, you know, Dembele last night, so it's always going to be a centre forward. So I think you need to do one for a defender.
It'll have been 7 years by the time of next year's awards before a defender was in the top three.
Before he won it, who was it?
Well, I tell you who actually won it, Fabio Cannavaro. But in top three,
yeah.
I mean, I'm flicking through the list here, Owen, and I can't see a defender in sight. I can barely even see a defensive midfielder, let alone a defender. Yeah. You know, but I suppose is that why Roberto Carlos 2002 came second. And Buffon actually came second. You're kind
of it's the centre forwards that excites the journalists. So when they score goals, that's what they pay the money to see, isn't it?
Was Dembele the best player in the world?
Absolutely, last year he was. I think so. Yeah, I think so. I mean, the season he had where they've won everything, but also the fact that he changed games like on his own with his assists or his goals. You know, in crucial games coming to the European Champions League when they won it.
All right, thanks, Malone.
No, nope.